Welcome back, everyone, to Rising 365. I'm Mike Pena, and like I shared yesterday, I'm at a point in this season, this year, of getting you two episodes, two consecutive days. So that's pretty cool. And this is a special episode because, like you've listened to in previous episodes, I've had people on Rising 365 who I've just made a really cool connection with, who have similar stories of being in the dark places, but allowing the Lord to come through and to shine his light into their lives. And now they're living lives where they can say all they want to do is glorify the Lord with the things that he allows them to do. So I want to allow my guests, I'll just give him his last name and he can take it from there. Goodall, it's a pretty cool last name. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Greetings, everyone. So I always like to think that everything happens for a reason and a purpose. And I had the opportunity to meet Mike recently, and it made for a long day to go by pretty quickly. Lots of good conversation and just a basic introduction. I'm also a veteran. I was in the Navy, did two enlistments. Served overseas quite a bit. I currently live in Wyoming with my wife and three children, and we kind of enjoy living a simple lifestyle out in the country, and we like glorifying God in all that we do. And I have a heart for helping people, and I'm currently working on a degree in religious studies with an emphasis on Christianity. And I think it's kind of a little bit of a step of faith, finding opportunities to utilize that. And but it's something that I'm very passionate about, and working in the corrections field, there's lots of opportunities to witness to others and kind of teach them about the gospel and kind of help strengthen what they know. And it's just amazing some of the opportunities I consider kind of like missionary opportunities. Yeah. To speak with some of the inmates, and most of them are pretty receptive about it. So that's kind of the basic introduction, I guess.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, today, you know, I didn't know Jason before this morning at 4 o'clock, right before we got on the elevator, because what we're doing is a detail that often you don't know who our partner is going to be.
Right.
But something needs to get accomplished, and we got assigned to this detail. And again, we didn't know each other from, what's the saying? We didn't know each other from Adam. And
yeah,
we got on the road after we needed to do what we needed to do, and it was a long road trip. We started in Rapid City and came all the way out here. We're in Rochester, Minnesota right now. I've never been here before, and it's a beautiful place. And in that 8-hour car ride, we just began to share our story. And I just, there's something about when you meet someone who's walking with the Lord and who knows the Lord, because I just heard this phrase, there's people who know Jesus, like they know about him, they know the guy. Mm-hmm. He came, did this really cool stuff, and then supposedly died, and if you believe in him, you can say, but those people who actually are walking in a living relationship with him, mm-hmm. there's an extreme close connection, like you've known. Yeah. The person forever. And then you weave our stories of both being in a sailing service, me being in the Coast Guard and you being in the Navy, mm-hmm. Us both being in corrections. It was just like God orchestrates some amazing things, and we. Yeah. Talked about that today. And some of the stuff that really jumped out to me today is we want to fold in this episode, our conversations, like this season I shared with you, and like we did yesterday. Yesterday we looked at Genesis 7 and Genesis 8 is what we'll be looking at today, and how it relates to what we were talking about in the situation. So in the job we're doing, we get an opportunity to share our faith sometimes with people. One, because they have no choice but to listen to us, but they ask us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's something different about people who have God's light shining through them, and they're drawn to that. Even God's, in God's word, he tells us, like, people will know that you are my followers by the way you treat them, basically by the way you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was prevalent from,
yeah.
And you've seen that in your
yeah.
line of work.
Yeah. Like the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah. The fruits yeah. of the spirit. People will be able to tell. How have you been able to have you always been a Christian?
So I grew up in a strong Christian family and household, a stable environment. So I'd say I always was. Have I always been this close to God? No. Have I had my dark moments? Yes. I think we all have. You know, fortunately, I was blessed to have the bringing up that I did that kind of set up for a core foundation to, you know, keeping me out of a lot of trouble. However, when I was active duty, I drifted a little bit. I wouldn't say too far, but I didn't feel that closeness to the Lord. And it took me a while. It took me many years, even after getting out. I'd say it was like a good year or so before I started to kind of get back on track. I went, you know, I had my own personal struggles that I had went through from my service, and you know, I attribute all the things that I've been able to overcome through knowing the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's really helped me to kind of build my testimony and to become a stronger Christian. And you know, not only, you know, talk, you know, but also, you know, walk the walk. And you know, am I perfect? No. Nobody is, you know, but I always strive to be Christ-like in all that I do, you know. And I know that that's genuinely the key to you know, why we are on this earth, you know. And how could we not want to glorify someone as, you know, as beautiful as our Heavenly Father and all that, you know, has been created. You know, it's just it's a great feeling when you just know when you are close, yeah. close to God, and kind of knowing that, you know, the decisions that happen are for a reason, you know. And sometimes you don't always know right away, right?
Yeah.
And you know, eventually those come to fruition, you know. And and sometimes you may never know,
yeah.
you know, why you maybe went through something, or you met somebody, you know. But and other times you do. So it's just one of those things where it's just you know, pray daily, read the scriptures, and you know, just ask the Lord for guidance in the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And we've got to talk about that a lot today, because in our path of being corrections officers, we get a unique opportunity to peer into people's lives that resemble what happened, what we talked about in yesterday's episode in Genesis chapter 7, that the world had become so corrupt with people making choices to the point where God's like, man, I need to start over. So he chose Noah because they saw in him that he was a righteous man. And he tried to make the right choices. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect, but he tried his best to glorify the Lord and didn't forget about what you were talking mm-hmm. about, Jason, the Lord's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So in his righteousness, God said, I want you to make this ark. And while you're making this ark, tell people that punishment's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, it took the flood. And in Genesis chapter 8, it's kind of where we're at now, where we talked about today, that no matter what we're going through, Genesis chapter 8, it starts with a beautiful first sentence. It says, God remembered Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Those three words are so deep. And like I've shared with the audience before, this year we are looking at scriptures through what you and I get to experience where we see Bibles in hotel rooms because we travel at hospitals because our work takes us into hospitals, and there's always a Bible. And these, what if someone picked it up and they opened to chapter 8? What would they see? The first three words they would read here is, "But God remembered Noah." And that's what we talked about. God remembers us. We're not something that he made out of thin air and just set us on this earth and forgot about us. He remembers us through all the hard times we went through. Because Noah, if you go to chapter 6 and 7, he knew those people. He probably loved many of those people who were his friends, and he was trying to plead with them about, hey, our decisions, your decisions, is causing the Lord to bring judgment onto the world. Yeah. There's a way to be rescued. But sadly, they didn't have that. So we got to spend like 8 hours sharing that with a person today who had made decisions, who in our line of work, he's living the consequences of those decisions right now. Mm-hmm. But the one good thing he does have is he's so young.
Yeah.
That's what struck me.
Yeah, very young.
And he's been in the system, he said, since he was even younger. And he's read the Bible, and we got to have this conversation with him.
That's amazing.
Amazing. He knew the stories.
Yeah.
And but he didn't know the depths or the meaning to them. And he was just asking Jason and I all the way here about these stories after he was talking about crazy things. But he would come back after, you know, a few minutes of off the wall conversations and be like, "What about this Bible story?"
Yeah.
So Jason and I got to unpack the gospel with him, and he kind of grasped it. He shared a real deep word about it. He's like, "You know, all I got to do," and someone told him this, "is I've got to repent, and God's going to forgive me. Every time I do something wrong, all I need to do is repent." And this is the only theological thing we're going to get deep. He had a misunderstanding of what that word repent means. Mm-hmm. He just thought repent means he just has to feel sorry about the bad things he did and God would forgive him.
Yeah.
And you and I tried to explain to him, I was like, repenting is not feeling sorry. Repenting is identifying that you're going in the absolute wrong direction, that if you don't turn away and go back the right direction, which is pointing toward God, you're going to end up what we read about yesterday, that a flood's going to come into your life and it's going to destroy you. So you've got to turn away from what's going to destroy you. And he didn't grasp that. It was
very difficult for him. And it was just, it was amazing though, the depth of what he did know in the scriptures. And, you know, when you're down on time, you have nothing but time. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, there's some beneficial things for him to that he's done, which was reading the Bible. And that was really great. And I think, you know, until God really gets a hold of somebody, I think it's difficult for them to fully grasp some of that, you know. But you know, we definitely encouraged him, you know, to continue on that path. And I'm sure that there's others that he can, within that facility, you know, reach out to, you know, that can hopefully help him out, you know, and, you know, as he matures, because he's, you know, as we said, he's very young, you know?
Yeah, he is very young. And it's kind of similar to what we see in 7 and 8 of Genesis. So the flood comes. Basically, and we see this in our own lives. A flood will come into our life, and sometimes we just have to sit on the water and bounce around and kind of almost flounder for a little while. It says in 7 that Noah, after 150 days, the flood was there, and he had to sit and just bob around and see all the destruction. Everything was dead and desolate. And there's been times in my life, and the audience know this, and I shared this with you, but if you're new to the episode, in 2018, I got to that point where I got into a really dark place, and I was just floundering to the point where I thought the choice was to take my own life. And then I had a George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life moment. God just intervened miraculously, and I'm here with you guys all today. And that's just a reminder, just again, how 8 starts, that God remembered me. Have you ever had a time in your life, Jason, where you felt like you were just floating aimlessly, but all of a sudden God remembered you? And then what does it look like when we look at what did it look like? What did it feel like? Because in chapter 8, it closes beautifully that in response to God remembering Noah and the floodwaters recede and they're able to come out, first thing Noah does is praise the Lord by building an altar and offering his thanks. Have you seen a full circle? Again, my question, I'm kind of rambling about it, is you were in a really dark place, but then all of a sudden you felt God's goodness grab your heart. And then what was your response to that?
Yeah, so I think there's been a few moments like that, but I think one that's kind of notable for me that's, you know, I don't always speak about some of these things in great detail, but there was a time when I was going through a lot of physical and emotional distress, had a lot of health issues that I was trying to navigate, and a lot of things within my thoughts, and it was a really difficult time, and I feel kind of like I was kind of like just out there floating, and it's like I knew kind of what I needed to do to get back on track, but I was so focused on the distress that I was going through that it was almost like for a moment like I forgot what I needed to do. And it was very difficult, and you know, I started to kind of focus and pray, and you know, eventually once I surrendered everything to God and I prayed earnestly, you know, asking for God to help me. And sorry, I get emotional sometimes. But it was through those times that I felt genuinely that I felt the hand of God. And it was a tough time in my life. And I said, I don't want to go too much into detail, but if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be.
Yeah. And that's what we try to just share with people in this line of work that we're involved in. Yeah, sometimes they don't have a choice but to listen to us. But I felt it on Jason's heart today. He wants to share it with everyone. He wants to share that story because you and I have, again, that parallel service story. We get out, and our transition out into the civilian world was very similar, where they taught me how to write a resume, how to wear a suit, you know, how to present myself in job interviews. But they never addressed how the stuff that I went through in the service, the things I had to do, and I saw that it was really broken in there. And what was the phrase you were given before you got out?
The medical doctor, they told me, because I had served overseas for quite a while, they told me that when I came back, they said, if you got two arms and two legs, you're good to go.
Yeah. And that's kind of how you feel when you get out. And they want you to feel that way. But what we're missing is in our heart and in our souls and in our spirits and in our minds. And I told him today, I was like, I tried to resonate with my wife because she just didn't understand why I would have these days where I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't open the curtains to the room. And but the day before, I was like the life of the party of the house, getting everything done. So she couldn't understand why in a few hours time frame from going to sleep to waking up that I couldn't even face the world. And I, one day in a frustration, I was like, I wish when I came home, I was missing one of those parts that doctor said to you. Cause then people could see us as service members, like, oh, it makes sense why they behave that way. But when something inside of you, when your spirit's broken, when your heart and your mind are broken, and you don't address it, or you try to just do the, I don't know, the worldly thing of replacing it with some other materialistic thing, you get left
Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, those things don't fix it. And just a spoiler, if you guys are reading along with us, go to Genesis chapter 9, and you can kind of see, and I'm going to spoil a little bit, Noah didn't know how to handle what he just went through. Again, he probably loved some of those people who died in that flood, and that hurt and that pain and sadness that he had in his heart of like, how come they didn't listen to me in that struggle? Or at middle of chapter 9, it says we see Noah get drunk and some bad things happen because he was trying to cope in a way. He took his eyes off the Lord for a second.
Yeah.
And that's just how quickly, when we focus on ourselves, and the world tells us that you should focus on yourself, you should think about yourself alone, and no matter what you're going through. But for some reason, a relationship with the Lord and a relationship follow Jesus, there's something that restores a soul when you start serving others in your brokenness.
Yeah. There's another thing just to kind of add to that. There's, I kind of feel like there's like a common denominator there with the people. It doesn't say it in here, but it's like, you know, I kind of feel like their hearts were hardened, you know, they did not have an open ear, you know, their ears weren't open, their eyes weren't open, you know, spiritually to see actually what was going on. And, you know, that's that right there in itself is like a lesson for us. You know, if we put ourselves in that situation and we don't have like, you know, open eyes and open ears, then how are we going to hear the promptings, you know, to guide us in the right direction?
Yeah, you know? No matter how much like Noah loved those people and he was pleading with them to get in the ark with them, they didn't listen.
Yeah, they thought he was crazy.
And in this world that we both have of law enforcement and correction, we talked about a little bit today that even in the most max penitentiaries and facilities, those who don't claim to be a God, or they're angry at God because they're in the situation they are in, they still have like this moral hierarchy of what's right and what's wrong. You kind of shared a story of that today, of how even behind the razor wire and the cement walls and all this steel, there's still an order of behaving well. And that only comes from, God tells us, because he made us in his image.
Yeah.
So behind those thick walls and those tough personas that you and I get to deal with on a day-to-day basis, there's still a hierarchy of respect that is required in there.
Yeah.
And that's because the image of God is imprinted on their heart. So people understand when they're being disrespected. People understand when, yes, you've made bad choices, but you've gone too far with your bad choices. So even though the world's going to punish you and you're sentenced here, we're going to make sure you're punished again. Because even in our world of we're all bad dudes doing bad things, you cross the line of being a bad dude, being a bad thing. So we're going to make sure you're duly punished. And that only comes from God's fingerprint on our life.
Yeah.
There's no better way to explain it. That's why it's so important that we don't waste opportunities to point people to God. And you and I both have been reprimanded at both of our facilities kind of for you seeing people study God's word and having questions about it. And then you, in a loving way, try to explain it. What are some situations that you have faced where you're like, it was worth sharing God's truth with that inmate, even though I know I'm not supposed to?
So there's multiple situations. I'll be honest with you, I never really stopped doing it. I just tried to be a little bit more discreet. And you know, it wasn't like a direct rule, or policy rather, but it was more like a kind of like stay in your lane kind of thing. That's for someone else to deal with. And I just can't, I'm not going to sit back when I see the opportunity, to kind of witness to someone, that's going through a hard time. I will not hold back. And I think, you know, I've had some inmates where I've shared with them the gospel. And I remember there was one in particular, and there was a couple, but there was one. I had an opportunity to, I think I told you the story earlier, transport him to a bus stop out of state because he was going on parole. And I got an opportunity to talk with him about the gospel and, you know, like kind of on a one-on-one basis and actually pray for him, you know, before he got sent out. And he told me, that he felt it was God's will that we met, you know, and I agree wholeheartedly. I'm a strong believer that if you pray for missionary opportunities, you will find them. And it's happened so many times. And, you know, another quick example is another inmate that I had shared the gospel with, and this was actually a female inmate, and she was going through an ITU program within the facility, and that was an intensive treatment unit. And so it was for addiction, drugs, alcohol, and also it did, you know, therapy for, you know, a lot of them were physically abused, mentally abused, you name it, you know, they've been through it all. And when she left, I remember she had seen me, and she came to me and she thanked me for all those times that, like, I helped out and kind of put her, like, in the right mindset, because, you know, things are just, you know, things can just get stressful within those facilities, and you're dealing with multiple personalities. And I kind of helped bring her back on track and in a gospel way, you know, and kind of going through some, you know, like some scriptures and, you know, just some basics. And will she follow it? I don't really know, but, you know, I know that, you know, there was a seed that was planted, and hopefully it in due time is going to grow up into a tree that's going to produce, you know, fruit.
Yeah.
And that's all you can pray for.
Yeah. That's all we get. We get these little bits of opportunity in this world of corrections. And when they're with us, that's our chance. What do you find best when you try to share your faith? Do you share more personal stories, or do you go straight to scripture, or do you kind of weave the two together?
I kind of like to weave them together. It really depends. I like to use like an example of there's certain people, and it's like, I don't like to use this word, but I'm just using this in a way that others might be able to relate. You know, somebody might say that's too churchy, or they'll use that kind of term. And so sometimes if you start going straight to scriptures, sometimes some people can be a little standoffish at first, you know? And so I don't get too personal with them, but I'll use like some stories of, that are kind of relatable, with maybe some others that I've maybe known or something like that, something that to that effect. But certainly you definitely get into the scriptures. But some of them, depending on how open they are to it and what their exposure was as they're growing up or their adult life,
right.
Some of them just don't really know much about God or even dig into the scriptures at all.
Do you have this same opportunity in your personal life when you're not behind the brick wall to share the gospel?
I do. I feel like it's not as often. And, you know, one of the things I like to always stress, it's like, it's always a challenge. Like, you know, having a relationship with God is I don't want to say work, because they say if you find a job that you like, you know, you never work a day in your life. But, you know, you have to work through those things. You have to continue, you know, the prayer, reading the scriptures, studying, pondering. It all works together. And if you don't do that, then you're going to lose focus on what your purpose is. And I truly feel that, you know, as Christians, we need to be there as an example unto others. And you know, some of the missionary opportunities that come forth are just like so unexpected at times. And the one thing, just to add real quick, is I strive in my daily life to not be that person that has to cry out to God only in like the hard times.
Yeah, in the flood times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, what we should be doing is we should be working on our relationship with God daily. You know, like I tell people, like, church is not just one day a week.
Yeah.
It's 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know? It's we should strive to be like that daily, you know, not just like, you know, you put on your church face, you go to church, and then you walk out the doors and it's back to normal.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's kind of,
we see that often in this line of work that we're in, where people outside of work are one way, but they put a uniform on and they're totally different way.
Totally different. Yeah.
And that happens in the life of a corrections officer. It's not an easy life, but even the people that we deal with in a day-to-day basis behind the wall, they can tell the difference between the officers who put that uniform on and they're using it. We talked about it because now they're in a position of power and they can lord over people, compared to those who genuinely care about people no matter what they did, in the response of respect and reciprocation and the response of how they obey the rules and they interact, and, you know, they don't act out. In my 2 years of corrections and my, I don't know, going on, if you count the law enforcement in the military plus this, it's nearly 22 years of straight law enforcement. I can only count, I had zero use of force actions when I was a correction officer. I had the use of force I had when I worked the street was usually because another officer showed up and escalated the situation for me, and it escalated to where it had to, or I responded to help. For some reason, the peace spirit, and Jason has this, where there's just pieces that oozes out of him. And I hope one day you guys get to meet him, and it goes before him, I bet, at your job, that the inmates want to hear what we have to say when they have questions of where does hope come from. And that's why I wanted Jason to be on this episode, because we don't know when we're going to get to work together. We never know who we're going to work with. In what we're doing and what brought us out here today and together today. So I didn't want to pass up this opportunity. And if you, the listener, have not read Genesis chapter 8, go open it up before your day ends after listening to this and read Genesis chapter 8. See God's goodness. See how he remembers Noah. See how he remembers you. See what the new purpose. Well, it's not a new purpose. He's just restating the purpose that he gave to Adam way back at the beginning of Genesis, to go be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And God sees you, and he has a purpose for you that only you can do. And then in response to that, what Jason is wanting to get across is live a life that glorifies him, that will be a pleasing aroma we see at the end of chapter 8 here. But then there's a sobering thing right at the end. God says, I will never curse the ground again because of man, for he knows that the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. So God knows our evil desires, and we talked about that.
That's that sin nature.
Yeah, it's that sin nature that's fighting against this new life that we want.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier that, you know, I was telling you, like, you know, God's not going to force us to love him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you shared the picture of a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, would you ask your spouse to, you know, would you force your spouse, would you want a spouse that you had to force them to love you? Or would you want someone that would willingly love you? You know, and I think of that in a relationship with Christ, you know, and it's like, it goes hand in hand, you know,
because he ultimately displayed his love for us.
Yes.
So
yeah, he's already done his part.
He's asking us, how are we going to, you know, show our thankfulness for what he displayed? How is our love going to mirror that love?
Yeah. And there's definitely something, like you mentioned earlier, you know, people, they know, even if they're not believers, they know there's something different. You know, I've had, you know, some inmates say, you're different. You're not like the rest, you know? And I took that as a good thing, but you know, it's all the glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not me. If it wasn't for, Christ within me, then that wouldn't be, wouldn't be like that, because it's not, you know, it's not just me. You know, it's not just like good works or being a good person, you know. It's they're seeing the goodness, the Spirit of God, you know, that's what they're seeing. And it's like, I try and emulate that in my daily life as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know,
and you said today, which was very amazing, of you see the people we deal with in a different light. Can you share with the listeners, how do you see the people?
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, there's, you know, you have different custody levels. You have, offenders that have like different crimes,
and we get to see all the crimes, the dirty things,
the dirty, the nasty, the ugly. You see everything, and you know, there's some, I hate to say, but they will, you know, they will judge somebody based on their past actions, and I just know that, you know, God, he forgives, you know. And you know, when you truly repent, you know, and you turn from your evil ways, and there are individuals, there are those success stories out there, right, that, you know, you hear, you know, and like you said earlier, to the inmate, you know, that we had today, like, you know, if you can turn your life over to God, you know, you're going to have like a great redemption story. I think something to that effect. And that's so true. You know, I mean, he's got like a whole life ahead of him, and he, you know, because of his age at the time, you know, he's been able to, how would you say, escape a very lengthy sentence, you know, and he's got the opportunity to turn things around, you know, if he wants to. And that's,
that was our encouragement to him as we let them go where we're at today. Of, you have a choice now, man. What are you going to do with it? God sees you. He remembers you. You have in your heart this wanting to understand God with all the questions he was asking you. Mm-hmm. And I think the last thing you encouraged him, and we both encouraged him, was like, once you get in there, you find yourself a Bible, and we recommended some, you know, like a study Bible, so that can help them answer questions, but not just to read the scriptures, but to ask the Lord to reveal himself to you.
Yeah.
And there's a promise that Jesus says, like, if you do that, I will send the helper, and he will reveal to you all truth. Mm-hmm. And you spelled it out perfectly for him. You told him, once you experience that true authenticity of what Jesus enters your heart, you'll never be the same.
Yeah.
Yes, you may have to continue to,
yeah,
like Noah did, wait in the water for a little while before you're released and get to live a new life. But he truly does have the opportunity to repent and live it, and turn away from his old ways and live a life that really could be redemptive for him. And he can use his story That's why Peter and Paul both says we're God is writing a story on our heart so that we can use it to encourage others. Because I know if I could go back, I don't know, the flesh in me wish I would have never made some decisions, wouldn't have gone on some of those deployments because I wouldn't go through the struggles I had. And would that be the same request for you? Like,
yeah.
But we have a story now that we can, you're pressing play and you're hearing it too. And we can only tell this story because we're living for Jesus and Jesus is living through us in his Holy Spirit.
And it's not that, God wants us to like face all these like massive trials and tribulations in our life. But, you know, I think it's kind of like the refiner's fire.
Yeah.
And I think that at some point, I don't really want to be in that number to where it's like, I got to bring you down to your lowest point, you know, before I can build you back up. But, you know, through some of those things that were outside of our control, we kind of went through some things and, you know, having that opportunity, to kind of go through those trials and tribulations, I honestly think that it has made me a stronger person, you know, like everything is pre-planned, you know, God is all knowing, you know, just amazing.
Which is great. And you can, the Lord says to lean into him for the day he's given us, because we don't know if we're promised tomorrow. And you shared that today. It was like, we're given this one 24 hours, and it's evident that you want to live it completely poured out for Jesus, and you didn't pass up on the opportunity to do that today. And I was so honored that you, when I said, hey, do you want to record an episode?
Yeah.
Because again, I don't know when we'll see each other again to have this. So I'm so thankful you said yes. What are some things I always want our listeners to go away with that have helped you? You shared about praying and reading God's word, but what are some personal things that you enjoy doing that keep you like grounded, that keep you, what are your hobbies that people that have helped you to find a purpose to rise each new day that you're given?
So I'd say, I think I used an example earlier, and I don't know if I told you this or not. You know, I've talked to others about it, but I was giving like an example about how the world is like a noisy place, you know? And I was like, you know, if you have like some good, like, you know, spiritual music, like Christian music, and, you know, something that invites the Spirit, right? And that you're intentional about giving yourself in this busy life that we live in these days, an opportunity to listen to those promptings, you know, to be close, you know, to feel the presence of God, you know, that kind of feeling, and, you know, and how quickly it can change, you know. And I gave the example, like, you know, you're listening to that, and then if somebody turns it on to like some rock music, it's just like, you just feel it just like that, you know, it'd be like the Spirit like leaving, you know. And, you know, just using that example. And, you know, some of the things that I enjoy is just like service work, helping out others. And, you know, even if they're not believers, you know, just helping people out, it gives you that opportunity to sometimes kind of witness to them. Because I think it's almost like even talking to somebody, sharing with them about some of the struggles that you've made or not made, but have been through, it almost helps kind of like strengthen you. You know what I mean? Because it's like, even though you might be still kind of going through that a little bit, and then to a degree, when you talk to someone else about that, that's maybe going through that same thing, it's almost like it kind of like it helps you at the same time. And so it's like, by sharing your testimony to others, by helping others, being that Christ-like example, you know, it goes a long ways. And, you know, I just try and live a clean lifestyle, morally pure. And I try and, you know, focus, you know, with my family, doing like outdoor things, you know, hunting, fishing, just being outdoors, enjoying the, you know, we mentioned that this morning, you know, when the inmate, you know, the sun was rising and it was just a beautiful sunrise, you know, and I was talking about, you know, like the creation, like how could somebody think that this just happened,
Yeah.
you know, out of just a big boom, you know, and there it was, you know, like no, that's a create, that's somebody that was an artist, you know, a creator, you know,
Yeah,
God
and he was
himself.
coming out of a place he hadn't seen the sunrise in a long time.
Yeah, when he seen that, man, he was
Really
pretty
changed it. He was
excited.
pretty happy, and only God's beauty can really do that. So you spend time out in his beauty, camping and hunting and hiking, spending time with your family. You live out in the country, so it's a quieter life. And that's so important, is just the importance of, I don't know if our microphone is picking it up, but you can hear the traffic of downtown Rochester, Minnesota. It's pretty loud where we're at, but it could get really noisy. It could be distracting. So it's really important. And what Jason is trying to encourage you is be intentional of unplugging, getting away from the noise of the world, and allowing God, like we shared with the guy today before we left him, was allow God to reveal himself to you, and he won't leave you disappointed. He'll restore you and give you purpose.
Can I share one more
Yeah,
thing?
please
So,
do.
another thing that I like to tell others, you know, it's like I think I kind of shared a little bit of this story, but you know, you have like those individuals, and it's like they know the gospel of Jesus Christ is real, but yet they don't want to submit to it,
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
and they're just
Why don't they want to spit? We talked about it. Because
yeah,
they'll have to change.
they're going to have to change, and that's what a lot of them have said. They're like, I know I'd have to change. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up.
I don't want to give this person up.
Yeah, I don't, you know, yeah, exactly.
What else am I going to do? I don't know any other way.
Yeah,
And that's where
yeah.
God, he wants you. Noah was coming off the boat. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, but God said, I'll show you the way. He tells
Yeah.
him at the end, I'm going to provide everything you need in every season. I'm going to provide for you. And man,
Yeah, I mean that was a
that's
big
true for
step of
us.
faith too. I
Yeah.
mean, talk about a step of faith, like, you know, building an ark, you know, and it's like
He
everybody's
never
like, it
done it.
hasn't rained in days, you know. And you know, that just it's such an example on how, you know, if we're not close enough to God to hear him, and we're not, you know, and everybody's example of having the opportunity to have that quiet time is something different, right? Because not everybody lives in the country,
Right.
you know, and that can be something different for everybody else, you know. It could be putting some headphones on and
Go to a quiet room in your
yeah.
house. Cool.
But
Yeah.
there's, you know,
Headphones.
and everybody just has to kind of find their own way that helps them to put themselves in that place of that spiritual quietness, you know, because it speaks in the scriptures about the, you know, the spirit talks in a still small voice, you know. And so you know, I think in a literal sense, like, how are you going to hear the spirit when you got all this noise, you know? And it's kind of symbolic, right? You know, but how are you going to, with all these distractions and all these things? And it's like, I feel like in today's day and age, like Satan is just like out there with all these distractions and all this noise, and it's just coming at you from all directions. And you're like just doing your best to, you know, to front all these things off, you know, head them off, and be able to deflect them. You know, it's like, and you gotta almost be like in a literal sense of putting on the full, you know, armor of God
Yeah.
every day, you know, in a physical and a spiritual.
You can't forget one piece of that armor, because then you leave yourself susceptible to being taken out. It's so important. Well, Jason, I can't thank you enough for, I know it's been a long day, and it'd been easy to be like, you know what, I'm tired, man. I'd rather just keep in the quietness of my hotel room and not, but
It was either this or some studies, you know.
yeah.
And like I said, I mean, that can wait till tomorrow if it has to. So I got ahead intentionally.
Yeah.
So, you know,
You didn't know you'd be on a podcast.
no, I didn't. And, you know, first time, but I love the opportunity to kind of share my love for Christ, and
it's, encourage others
yeah,
like you
and
were today.
encourage others. I mean, I absolutely love that. And like I told you earlier, you know, at some point, I don't know yet, you know, I haven't had that direction in my life yet, but you know, maybe stepping into like a counselor role, like a Christian counselor down the road, might be something that God has in store for me. But
I think even better is, because there's such a world of veteran first responder that they don't know how to share their story. They don't know it's safe to share their story. So many of them try to null the pain with unhealthy choices. And we witness that. And that's why I started Rising 365. And you have the same story. And I encourage you, you know, just start a podcast, share your story with others. And you never know who will resonate with and where it will take off. Because Paul says God, and it sucks that he sends us through these refining fires, these trials, the hard things for the purpose to glorify him and to point people to him. And it's sobering but encouraging. So thanks again for
thanks for having me.
Your
it's
evening.
Been great. And thanks to all the listeners for listening to me. And you know,
if people want to get in contact with you, do you have a social media presence or anything like that that you're comfortable with sharing?
Not really.
Okay.
You know, I kind of keep to myself as far as that goes, but, if you ever somehow had me wanted to have me on again and we could do it like virtually or whatever, I would be more than willing to do that. You know?
Yeah.
But
so again, thank you very much. If you're the listener today, go find a Bible, open it up on your phone, go to Genesis chapter 8, see the beautifulness and be reminded again that God remembers you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's got a purpose for you that you should strive to live a life to bring him praise, and that in every season, he's going to provide everything you ever need. That's a quick overview of Genesis chapter 8. Well, this is Rising 365. And I want to thank you for pressing play. You could have done anything, but for some reason, you made it this far. So thanks for tuning in. I'm Mike Pena, and you can support this podcast by purchasing the book, Rising 365, getting in contact with me and having me come to any event and speak to help encourage. And if you want a dual purpose, I bet Jason would be there with enough heads up to share his story with you guys.
Yeah.
So we can make that happen. Join the social media, the Facebook community of Rising 365. All that can be found in the show notes. Until we talk again, I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray that he makes his face shine upon you and bring you peace in each day that he's been giving you, because it's truly a gift. So go live it with meaning, action, and purpose.